In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, O Lord, and they shall be created. Our Lady, Mother of the Eucharist. Excuse me. We are all aware, maybe it's something we don't think about often, over the centuries, the great offences against Christ and Eucharist. They're known as sacrileges. That is, making that which is sacred, taking that which is sacred, and making it or using it in a profane way. We just need to look at some of those larger events in history. Something, for example, like the French Revolution, where churches, and not only the French Revolution, there were many other instances, churches were broken into, tabernacles were broken open, and the hosts were scattered on the ground, trodden upon, fed to animals, and worse. It should make us cringe that our Lord should be treated in such a way. We hope that these people didn't know what they were doing. We hope that they acted in ignorance, because indeed it is a great offence. In fact, the Church still holds it, that kind of sacrilege, or treating the Eucharist incorrectly in an external manner like that, is still one of those sins reserved. If you come to confession if you happen to take the Eucharist out and tread on it, please know, it's something reserved for the Holy See to give absolution for. Now, we don't maybe see any of that here in Perth. You don't hear that happening very much. It does still go on in places. We don't hear about it. But sacrileges still go on. When we come to receive communion, St. Paul warns us that we should come recognizing, acknowledging the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, certainly, obviously, that means that we believe that Jesus Christ is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, body, blood, soul, and divinity. He is truly here with us in this tangible way. He's in this sacramental way. He's everywhere, of course, but here in a very special way that we can see and feel and touch. But when a soul goes to him who is not properly disposed, we are not acknowledging and recognizing him as truly there. We've all heard the analogies. If you're called into the audience of some important person, be it a queen, a prime minister, or who knows who, your boss, you wouldn't go and see him with a shirt drenched in from the pizza sauce that you dropped on yourself the night before. It'd be an insult to him that you don't care how you look in his presence. It'd be an example of not acknowledging his role, his place, or his dignity. And yet, many do it all the time with Christ. Don't even think about their garments. And I don't necessarily mean their external garments. That's a topic for another time, maybe during summer. The garment of their soul. How much proverbial pizza sauce do we have on it? How disposed are we? How prepared are we? How much have we even considered it? How many come to communion without even knowing what's going on? They just get into line, they come up, they receive our Lord, and they walk off as if they're getting a ticket for a cinema, except with less excitement. It is the most important thing that we do. And yet, unfortunately, how much do we think about doing it? We think about so many other things in our lives which are important to us. Great things, exciting things, things with other people, things, people that we love. We think about how can we make them happy? How can we make them like us more? But do we think about this with God? So we may not be taking him out of the tabernacle and stomping on him and feeding him to animals and all the other terrible things that has happened to our Lord in his sacramental form. But going to him with a heart which is not properly prepared is still committing a sacrilege. And while we can't hurt Christ in this state, he's in heaven, by doing that we do contribute to the sufferings he felt on Calvary, pointing to the crucifix which is behind his wall. Don't doubt that all our sins have been crucified, certainly. But all sins from all time are what contributed to the pains of Jesus Christ. I am responsible for those pains. When I sin, you are responsible for those pains. But there's no bigger and obvious sin than coming up to receive our Lord, to be in his presence, to have him be within us in the most intimate way, and have no clue what we're doing, or worse, know what we're doing, know that we shouldn't, or know that we need to go receive his mercy first from the sacrament of reconciliation and then come to receive him. And St. Paul makes it clear, we take communion unto our own detriment and not for our blessings if we don't do it well. Again, back to the analogy, you appear in front of your boss, the king, the queen, prime minister, whoever, and you don't present yourself properly, it's to your own detriment, not so much to theirs. The first nine Fridays and the first five Saturdays give us an opportunity to make reparation. But every time we receive communion worthily is a moment for us to make reparation. For all the times maybe when we have received unworthily, and I don't want you to become scrupulous, you know, because you accidentally kicked the cat, or maybe even on purpose. But you know those sins which separate us from God, in the sense of separate ourselves from his love, from his grace. It is time for us to start to become Eucharistic people, to become people of Eucharistic reparation. The best way is to receive him often, in a worthy state. The Church allows us to receive twice a day the King of the universe, the Divine Doctor. Twice a day, the second time within the context of the Mass, according to canon law, we need to receive within the Mass. The other way we can make reparation is in adoration. We're doing a little bit of it now. Adoration is that moment where we come into the presence of our Lord, normally exposed within a monstrance, or not, in a tabernacle, it also works, and just being with him, acknowledging his presence, the reality that he's there, spending time with him, consoling him. You know that if there's someone in your life who is upset or who other people are treating badly, you go and spend some time with them, put your arm around them, console them, tell them that you love them, how valuable they are in your life. Why would we do something like that with Christ? He doesn't suffer, of course, like we do anymore. Blessed Francisco of Fatima is what he would spend his days doing when he discovered how offended God has been by men. Spending his days wanting to console God. We have that opportunity in a very, again, real, tangible way with Christ in the Eucharist. He really does need to become the center of our life. Again and again, you've heard this expression from the pulpit all the time. You may have read it in the documents of the Church. The Eucharist is the source and the summit of the Christian life. It is the beginning and the end, because it is God himself. If he is not at this point the center of our life, Even if we can't get the Mass every day or even to adoration, let him be the center of your thoughts and your heart. Let him be the source of everything, because he is the source of all that is good. And if we want good in our lives, we need to go to him. And he has come to us in his very unique and special way. In our tabernacles, again, that the prisoner of love, waiting for us to call upon him. Do not abandon him. He has certainly not abandoned us, and he will not. He gives us opportunity and chance over and over again, because he wants us to be with him more than we want to be. Hold on. He wants to... Oh, my goodness. I should have written this one down. He wants to be with us more than we want to be with him. That's what I'm trying to say. Pray, therefore, if you don't have that inclination, and sometimes even if you have some kind of repugnance to it, you think, oh, adoration, oh, Mass. If you have that kind of thing, and that sometimes it happens, pray to God to go there anyway. We all know people in our lives who we have to love, whom we might have that certain feeling towards them as well, but we do anyway because we know it's the right thing to do. But God will never disappoint. Maybe this month which at times has been dedicated to the precious blood of Christ, maybe we can make a resolution to spend more time with him. Whatever time you have, whatever time you find you have spare, or you know that maybe you could use better, visit him. If you can't visit him physically, not everyone can, visit him at least spiritually. Make a spiritual communion of some type. Lord Jesus Christ, I can't receive you sacramentally, so please come into my heart spiritually. The point is, stay in union with him. This is what consoles his heart, and this is what will bring all of us, all of you, the grace and the peace that all of us was made for and all of us yearns for. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.